Blog Talk Radio.
Not there yet. I've been watching the switchboard, and what I'm going to do is we're going to play part of an interview from the other night till these guys call in. That way people get an idea of what we're talking about or what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay?
I think so. Fine.
I'm going to pick up here. This is from Tuesday night, and this is off of Hermes' show. He's on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and he has a show during the week, during the day. But you can find him at Blog Talk Radio, too. It's just Hermes Live at Blog Talk Radio. What we're going to do now, though, Bill, is I'm gonna kick in this interview.
Of the Highwaymen Motorcycle Club will be on that show as well tomorrow, and they'll be going over the sentencing. The sentencing is going to take place tomorrow. Of Tyler, which is, by the way, Steve's son. Tyler is a member of the club, as well as Peeps. And you're going to hear a quite interesting story when we get to these gentlemen a little later in the show. But right now, I'm hoping it is, with the phone number there, Hank McGrath. Hank, is this you?
That's right. This is an agent from the federal government.
What a voice. This agent has, you know what, you should be singing love songs, brother. You'd be a bazillionaire with that voice.
Yeah, I know. You know, thank you for the prelude there. You know, that this situation that's coming up, Hermes.
Yeah.
We want to exemplify this, and as well, Mark, and everyone that's listening and on chat. Want to exemplify this case, even though stuff happens to bikers all over the United States all the time, what we fail to do is make issue out of each and every case as best as we can, networking media. And what Hermes Live is doing, what Biker Lowdown is doing, what the Phil and Bill Show is doing, what New York Rider is doing, and all the other magazines that sign up, and all of the 1% of news across the nation, we spread this story about what happens to Tyler and Peeps, and we may get some legal advice. We may get some what motion can be put in when you're forced to plea bargain. We may get some more support for the club because they, in turn, have to support these two gentlemen who are going to be, you know, going through trials and tribulations that are these two dehumanized. In other words, they're going to be stripped of their name, number.
Mm-hmm.
Given their identification, given a new ID, forced into a cell in a pen around actual animals. Some of these people are 1,000 times worse than this dude that took pot shots at everybody and killed people the other day. It's a totally different world, all for something that happened that they didn't cause. Now, what's most interesting here, Hermes, is I have permission to take a DVD. The
right.
DVD is film of what happened in the bar.
Mm.
I was asked if I could contact Seven Hawks Media.
Yes.
Could they receive this overnight and study it some kind of scientific way that they may know how?
Mm-hmm.
And see if anybody in the bar may have had a weapon or something else that could be used later on to reverse this case. Okay?
Seven Hawks Media would be more than happy to do that.
Okay, then Bikers Against Discrimination will ship it to you in 24 hours. Okay?
Wow. We'd be more than happy to do that.
Yes, and that's CSI crap, huh? There you go.
Yeah.
We got the power of CSI, right?
Yeah, yeah, we do.
You know, and that's one of my
things
that we have to do. We have to use our resources. There's professionals that are listening to these programs. There's professionals that get on a hog and ride it. There's professionals that are bikers and club members and riding club members or just individuals. These are professionals. We need them to start standing up now because this is only practice, the kind of discrimination that's going against various groups in the motorcycle world. That's practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming for everyone. It is.
I hear.
All right.
I hear that, brother.
So,
you know, one of the things, Hank, that most people don't realize is that it only takes a few people. You know, there are really big numbers. There's a lot of strength in small numbers. You just have to be dedicated folks. And this country was founded on a handful of dedicated people, you know.
That is a fact. You know,
there are so many followers. That's why it is my opinion that it's like one of the major reasons that this country is in this situation and the condition that it's in today. You know, it's no longer the country that I saw, you know, 15, 20, 25 years ago. This country that I'm living in today is almost like it's like where the hell am I? What the hell happened? You know, is this a movie? You know, it's just people. It seems like the Americans have just laid down and said, "Fuck it, walk on me." You know,
that's
not cool.
You know, it's our perspective. It's how we're thinking about things. We in a world where some of us are older, like I'm 54. We have to constantly change our perspective to the times and still not lose ourselves from where we came from. Right?
Mm-hmm.
An example of that perspective. A woman came to me and said her 15-year-old son was put in a juvenile school, that the system lied to her. He's in there with a bunch of bad people, and she named all these races and, you know, gang groups and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, listen, calm down. He's in the best place he could be now because they're going to produce a revolutionary.
Right.
And that's what money.
Right.
These are all schools, prison and juvenile schools. Can all be turned against the system by producing the new revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, that will come out right by life. Because, yes, there's a lot of the kids born today, they're not going to be leaders. They may be free thinkers or whatever else, but they're not, you know, there's a lot of free thinkers that are turning things in an opposite direction. You understand?
Right. Right.
Some of us have to, I can think and be as creative as possible, but I still apply the Constitution. I'm not going to rewrite it.
That's our Bible, so to speak, is the Constitution. That's what holds our society together. That's what gives our society its identity. It's a document that is only existing here in this country, nowhere else in the world. That's
right.
Why so many people want to come here.
I think this is him. Hello, caller.
Hey, how you doing? This is Hank from Bikers Against Discrimination. I'm honored to call the Phil and Bill show. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing okay tonight, Hank. Doing all right.
All right.
We were playing a little bit of Hermes to bring people up to speed, but those guys haven't called in yet.
Basically cover it for now. Let me just kick it live, all right?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Bill, is that all right?
Absolutely, buddy.
All right, brother.
With all respect for you.
Two brothers, all right? They go in this town on the outside, right next to the town where their club is. They've never had any problems, no bad situations. They just ride a motorcycle and they wear a patch. They're one percenters. One brother is deaf. Deaf and dumb, if you know what I'm talking about. They have that disability, okay?
Right.
Because I'm surmising that might be part of how this all initiated. Might be. Nonetheless, and we have film from the bar showing what we're talking about, okay? We possess film that's going to be investigated by Seven Hawks Media to see if we can get some more information out of that film. But what the film shows is a gentleman is constantly staring at the one biker who's deaf. He all of a sudden just races across the room and attacks him at the same time as two, three other people, as if it's a gang-type situation on their behalf. The biker, who's about, 5'7", maybe 160, 65 pounds, starts fighting back as best he can. It's a wrestling-type situation. They drag him outside, all right? But this goes on for, say, almost a minute, where you can see it on film. Then they drag him outside. In the interim, he was standing outside the bathroom door where his other brother was in using the bathroom. His other brother comes out, sees everybody racing outside. He races outside and finds his brother, Peeps, being pummeled on the ground by three or four people. And he runs over and does what he can to get these guys off his brother, and of course they attack him too. The police come. The initial guy who started it on film, he ends up gets a broken cheekbone. But the police start reading the rights to one of the culprits, not to the two bikers. The two biker brothers leave. That's Tyler and Peeps. But I'll also say that while there, when the cops arrive, one guy that was pulled off, a heavyset big dude, he punches Tyler in the face. And the cop doesn't arrest that guy. The bikers leave. There's no hassle. There's no problem. It's done and over. Week later, Tyler's arrested. Felony assault. New York felony assault, second degree. With the threat of two counts of gang assault because they're wearing a leather jacket with patches on it. 2 weeks later, Peeps, the deaf brother, is arrested. Same thing. Charged with the one count with the threat of two more counts coming. Now, these guys are in shock because this is just, I told you, you'll see this on film, you know, as we get this disc around after Seven Hawks Media is done working with it. And you'll be shocked if these guys shouldn't be going to the joint. What the hell happened here? How'd this flip around?
Yeah.
Well, we're beginning to investigate, Phil and Bill. And as we're investigating, we find out that the initial culprit who started the event, he's a major coach in the local high school.
Yeah, he's one of the gym teachers, right?
That's right. Police officer that arrested it, his son is one of the local stars underneath this particular coach. It keeps getting worse. Everybody's interrelated like the Cartwrights on Bonanza. And the judge, at the time that they brought these guys to be in, that they brought Tyler in to be arrested, is from some other county. And the cop tells the judge, the regular local rinky-dink Mayberry cop, tells the judge to set the bail for $20,000. The judge says, that sounds fair, and sets the bail for $20,000. And by then, they were already hooking up the noose and everything else that you see on the cowboy flicks.
Right.
And now you know the rest of the story. This all happened in October, all right? Already, I mean, you're talking about quick justice, all right? Already, they're on their way up to prison right now as we speak.
Yeah, there was no right to appeal, too, right?
No, because they copped out. Now, here's why. The DA, his game was, They had high-paid attorneys, just to let you know. They were referred attorneys from one of the most deepest and most respected MCs and groups in
right.
the United States. Okay.
Right, we got it.
Yeah. So this was a no-winner because, you know, weeks later after these guys get arrested, well, the whole case has now been reshaped and rehooked up to be something else. Okay? So they had to plea bargain or they face 15 years. Okay? And what's the 15 years for? Well, that's what you get in New York if you have a count or two of gang assault. And that gang assault was going to be placed on them through a testimony from a brother that's allegedly over in fighting in Iraq and wherever. You know what I mean? He's going to give some testimony by air, and they're going to send it back and convict these guys if they go to trial.
Right.
So they figure the fight is now. And they throw the fight to us in the arena of biker media and biker supporters throughout America to possibly help these two brothers. Because there's still motions that you can put in from habeas corpuses, which you guys got too, state habeas
right.
corpus, secured by the Constitution. And in New York we have something like 440, it's called, where you can put in a motion to overturn the case based on new evidence, and that's what we're researching now for. And I'm sure you guys got a similar thing out there.
Absolutely, yes.
That's the gist of the case right there as we speak.
Wow.
Let me jump in and say something here. Screwdive and I, first want to thank Hermes for getting us involved in this here, and, of course, our main man here, Hank.
Sure.
Our concern is that people may be asking, well, why are we in California care what's going on in New York? It's because what I said 100 times.
Yeah.
What affects New York today will affect us in California tomorrow. People
right.
of America have to understand, even though these are isolated cases, they're going on in every single state.
Yes.
We don't hear about it enough in there, especially when it involves clubs, because that kind of gets toned down.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these people are United States American citizens.
That's
right. I imagine most of them are veterans.
Yes.
So the fact that they choose to join a motorcycle organization, that is their right as an American.
That's
but
right.
somehow, having this organizational patch on their back is making them second-class citizens. And people across America have to stop and realize they are United States citizens with the same rights as everybody else, but they are getting over and over and over again pushed aside or getting outrageous, outrageous fines.
Yeah,
you talk
yeah.
the fact
yeah.
that people in every state has to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up. Communicate. Get on the radio. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Don't let this happen, because there's an old saying, World War II. They came for the communists one day. I didn't care. I wasn't a communist. They came for the Jews one day. I didn't care. I wasn't Jews. They came for me one day. There's nobody cared for me at all. That's what will happen if we keep fractionalizing ourselves, if we keep splitting up into areas saying, what's not going to affect me, it will affect you.
It will affect you. It will
Absolutely.
Affect you.
You're right on point there. Matter of fact, I did my own research, which I have a lot of experience in, and I couldn't find an article on the arrest or any of these guys or the situation even.
You know, Hank, just to tell you right now,
yeah.
we've got 89,541 people listening in the United States.
Yeah.
We got 7,170 listening in Canada.
Yeah.
In Germany, we have 3,767. In Australia, we got 3,301. Denmark.
Yeah.
We have 3,075. South Korea, we have 2,610. In the United Kingdom, we have 2,068. France, we have 1,761. Brazil, we have 1,678. In Russia, we have 322. And bringing up the rear is Bill's favorite guy in China. One guy.
The name is so important, I'm not going to start bad-mouthing communist China. So for anybody out there from China that can get our messages, I'm not
yeah.
going to pick on communist China, maybe.
Yeah.
What you're talking about here is you're realizing these people, again, I'll say they're American state citizens, United States
yeah.
American citizens. It could happen
right.
to you tomorrow, Hank. It could happen to Screwdriver.
Right.
That's right.
There is no way that we're exempt from this.
That's right. And it's this is just practice on a particular group of people until they win. The system has learned to thrive, almost like criminals. Like, you know, you have the drugstore on one side of the street, and the state-supported crack dealer on the other side of the street. And what I mean is, it's now common practice to arrest you, and if they think you're important enough, they'll release you again and allow you to sell drugs in order for you to feed them information. That's common practice. They thrive off of creating criminal elements, criminal situations that don't even exist. That's all the system is good for now, or they would lose their job.
Well, you know, here it's like I was telling you yesterday, Hank. California has what they call the California Step Act, and it's basically, if you remember what I said last night, it's a procedure to show knowledge that an individual belongs to a criminal street gang. And how it's done is the officer serves you a notice of determination on the person that he determines to belong to his criminal street gang.
Right.
This notice informs you, you are hereby notified that the above-mentioned officer and the motorcycle club's name is a criminal street gang engaging in a pattern of criminal activity within the means of Penal Code Section
162.22. Yeah.
Officer completes a proof of service, excuse me, by including a photo and a fingerprint of you, the gang member. Why it's done. If the agency step who they designate as gang members, the element of prior knowledge can easily be proved. The prosecutor will be able to show. This kind of goes along with what those guys did because they got railroaded when the district attorney talked to the judge. That's what I got. What do you think?
Yeah, if I could interject this. In that town. See, here's the trick. That effing anti-terrorism bill they passed, right?
Yep.
As it's weeded down from Washington, it becomes this package deal to all the local and state authorities, police authorities, who re-describe and reshape it to fit what they want in order to get federal grants, money in, all right?
That's right.
And so this town is looking like a hero because they still haven't printed a damn thing in local newspapers there. Isn't that interesting? In three or four towns, local newspapers, nothing. No mention whatsoever. But the police departments, all right, are now able to profile, given pure permission, no more the African-American, no more the Mexican, they just said. You know, they've been going through that, all right?
Right.
Instead, continue on the biker thing, rise it up. You can get bank from these guys left and right, no matter what. Just like the story told yesterday about the guy followed by two or three different departments. And when they finally stop him, they stop him under the guise that they thought he wasn't wearing a seatbelt because he was wearing a black jacket and they couldn't see the seatbelt.
Right.
It's all a game.
No, it's like I was saying yesterday. If you get pulled over and you're, you know, like detained for a traffic stop, you're basically under arrest as soon as the lights go on.
Yeah.
The thing is, you don't have to accept the notice. You don't have to sign anything. And don't be tricked into agreeing to a lesser charge in lieu of signing. The notice of determination, you don't have to give them a thumbprint or a photo. Educate the officer, inform him or her that you are a member, associate, or a supporter of a motorcycle club.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell them shit. When asked to comply with the officer's request before talking to the officer or giving up your rights, politely inform him. And if your attorney gives you permission, you will do so. You will comply with his request.
Yeah.
However, you made the commitment to your attorney to refuse these requests prior to consulting with your attorney. End of story. You don't have to say shit till they bring your attorney in.
You know, Hank, we're talking right now. He says no press. I guarantee you, the day they get convicted and put off to jail, it'll be in the paper.
Well,
yellow
that's what I'm telling you.
Today,
it already happened yesterday, Bill, and not a word.
Yeah.
Not a word.
If they go to jail, I think they'll in the paper, they'll try to create they'll paint them as even blacker villains somehow.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. This is such a cover-up shoe-in that we have.
Yes.
Sorry to say for the brother's sacrifice, we have the case that can be used by everyone as an example of bias and discrimination. Why is it the case? Well, what the majority of witnesses say, you don't go to trial, witnesses are never heard. The tape itself where we watch the security camera film from the bar, that says it. The judge couldn't hear anything in regards to it because it has to be submitted for review during trial.
Right.
You see,
and if you don't go to trial, you get
off.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, so we know this case is a good case to exemplify to be an example of cases like you were saying, Bill, that happened all over, especially in Australia, especially in Canada, especially in the United Kingdom, where this is actually an attempt by the government, as I said 2-3 years ago, 2008, the feds and the CIA had a big, large meeting in Washington with various officials from various countries, all in regards to security against motorcycle clubs, the growing motorcycle club community, all right? That's dangerous.
Three countries, you mentioned.
These are organized guys who have the American flag.
Right around the three countries.
Yeah, that serve them. That serve the country, so that means they know warfare. These guys take care of themselves. They're not servants to us. They're independent. They're about freedom and liberty. We have to stop this. We have to stop them. And
my
so
concern is that
time,
this has been somewhat the
yeah.
tradition. These guys may do a year in jail, and then the appeals may come in. They may get a reduced sentence. But by then, pretty much
for.
A lot of us will have forgotten this case.
Yeah,
no, they
these
won't.
Guys, well, tradition has shown us in the past that's the way it is. These guys are going to have a hard
yeah.
time for a year or so. Then going to offer them a deal. Well, we'll cut you back and all that.
Yeah.
In reality, the
yeah.
judge should have never given them this much time they're going to get. But
that's
the
right.
way our court system is. If you want to be a motorcyclist, if you're
yeah.
going to wear a patch,
yeah.
it is going to be thrown against you the whole mountain. But they will give you a break. But I'm afraid that you and I won't hear this in a year later. What happened to these guys here? We
yeah.
seem to forget things, and I don't know why my friends won't pick up the phone, why they won't pick up the newspaper and pay attention to what's going on. The people
yeah.
I know that don't want to get involved, I
yeah.
swear to you, if you hear my voice today, one day it's going to happen to you. And
yeah.
who the hell's going to be around to help you? Nobody. Pay
yeah,
attention.
That's right.
Look.
What
and
that is can't. Doing is we're going to follow the same game plan as did, like I said yesterday, the program, the Biker Lowdown program, that African-Americans did to fight their way out of second-class status and treatment that they were claiming was going on. We're going to follow the same type of pattern. We're going to build up cases. We're also going to take lessons from Izzy and the Big House crew, where you can go there and review people's cases and possibly get involved and give support. BAD needs to support something like that, as well as other organizations, and start making it so these cases can constantly be re-reviewed. Like, you guys can bring this up 5 months from now.
Right.
We can do updates.
We need files. That's just
yeah.
updates. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Hank. Updates.
Yes. And at the same time, come on. We need some professionals. Come on. There's some private eyes that ride motorcycle. All right? There's some other type of people that ride motorcycle, because you gotta understand, this is not. You think this is just happening to 1%ers. It's not. It's happening to vet clubs. It's happening to all female clubs. It's happening. You name it, you guess it. It's happening to a Honda rider.
Yep.
It's spread out now. It's all over.
I mean, we just had a thing in November at one of the casinos here where the Vietnam vets
yeah.
called up. They went up to a memorial up in River.
Thanksgiving. Talking about the dinner?
Yeah, Thanksgiving. And,
every veteran could come to the casino and get a free meal.
Right.
Yeah.
They even called a week before, Hank, to get to find out if there was going to be a problem or anything.
Wearing their colors
yeah.
in.
Wearing their colors in. They said, not at all. Come on down.
Yeah.
They get there. They walk in. They're mobbed.
Yeah, with
they
security.
They talk to this guy and that guy. They let them get in line to eat. They stood there and watched them eat. And after they were done eating, they threw them out, Hank.
They escorted them out. These are American veterans. Coming to an Indian casino where all veterans were welcome to a free meal that day. And they did get the meal, but when they were done, they escorted them right out.
Yep.
What type of country is this?
Yeah, look what it's turned into. This is ridiculous. This is a shame. It would have our relatives, no matter what political party they were in, turning in their grave. Because you noticed I played a quote from President Kennedy, and both you brothers will remember. He was Democrat.
Right.
And the Democrats were much different back then. Everything has changed where it's weird. You can't be a parent, hate men for creating the baby. Women are independent, can do anything they want, and they need help, you know. They need the family. They need, you know, children need a balance. But no, the government will take care of everything for them. They'll take away your job. They'll close down your business. Don't worry. The government will take care of you. You're sick. Don't worry. The government will take care of you. What is all this shaping into, Bill?
Exactly.
Socialism.
No, I want to tell you just a little...
Socialism.
Exactly. A small anecdote here. We have a local church in this area, and the pastor, they've developed a small little motorcycle riding group within the church.
Right.
Christian bikers, 100%, you know, straight and narrow, blah, blah, blah. Well, part of their sign is a sword with flames coming around it. So the local pastor, he has a large sissy bar. He thought he would have a sword attached to a sissy bar. Meanwhile, everywhere he rides, he has his Christian symbol on the back.
Right.
He was stopped by the police.
For a felony.
He was told that's a felony.
Felony hot stop, Hank.
What?
They gave him everything there was, and then because he was a Christian, he was a pastor and all that, this is how they treated him. They said, you turn around and go home immediately, take that off your sissy bar, and we're going to forget it. If we see you again, bam. Now, what that Christian did was he took it off his sissy bar. Then he came on my shop right away. He was so red-faced, indignant, blah, blah, blah. All I said to him was, well, how's it feel, buddy? How's it feel, you know? He said, well, I can't believe this stuff is happening to me. I said, what do you mean? It's happening to us all the time. You
That's
now
right.
in a motorcycle club.
That's right.
Well, but I'm Christian. I shouldn't be stopped. Why shouldn't you be stopped? It took a long time for this pastor to realize that there are some of us just riding down the road.
Right.
And we're getting stopped.
Right.
And hassled.
Right.
In every single state. But we aren't communicating.
Yeah.
We aren't getting connections back and forth.
That's right.
Hank, I know you do what you can.
Yep.
Hermes is doing what he can. Screwdriver and I are out here. We're not lawyers. We're not paralegals. Two guys, very long hair.
Yeah.
I've got a big beard. Screwdriver chooses not to have one because he's a welder.
Yeah.
We're riding motorcycles. We're trying to talk to people. We can't go to court and represent you. You need lawyers.
Yeah.
But we try to talk to people, know what your rights are.
Yeah, exactly.
And lend a hand to help other people. Why are we so separated? I don't understand that at all.
Bill, let me
jump
show you
some
something.
Of that, Hank.
Let me show you something, Bill and Phil. All right? Now, you know the size of a 1% of patch. Everybody raise their hand, all right? And most listeners, raise your hand. Okay, you know that, all right? Local cops don't even know, most of them don't even know what a 1% of patch is, I'll tell you. Local people in pubs don't understand, they can't differentiate between the vet, the Christian club, or the 1% of patch wearer. That
Correct.
Was pure discrimination against, straight up, against the American biker culture.
Yeah.
Straight up, when they struck at Peeps, a deaf brother standing there wearing patches, all right? The people striking did not know what these patches meant. There was no communication. You'll see that on film. They attacked you, Bill. They attacked 81. They attacked any club you can think of. Whether you dislike 81 or don't like 81, no matter who the hell anybody is here, they attack the American biker culture when they attack Peeps. And when they attack,
you know, when all this stuff started here in town, Frank or Hank, they pegged me and Bill. Bill's the president, I'm the vice president.
Yeah.
Of the North San Diego chapter.
Yeah.
These fucking guys.
We have Bikers Task Force in San Diego and Bikers Task Force in Orange County, and I am an executive officer in two different rival motorcycle organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in their books as that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And how could you possibly have me in two? Well, in Orange County, we know you're connected with Club X here. And here in San Diego, we know for a fact you and Screwdriver are members of blah, blah, blah. And you, Mr. Kennedy, we know you're an executive officer. I said, don't you realize these two clubs are like, you know, kind of like mad at each other time to time?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter, Mr. Kennedy. We know you have connections. And I'm dying to say, stupid can you people be?
Yep.
It's ignorance.
It's like when we have something going on and Bill has to, you know, we'll split up because we can't make everything together. So
California's got a lot of runs going on.
A lot of runs. So we'll split up. So I'll go north or Bill will stay south or vice versa. And as soon as these fuckers see us, me up north or who I'm with, the pictures get taken and I get pegged. So like Bill said, now I'm with the San Diego chapter. I'm with the San
other friends,
other friends, all these chapters. And I, man, you thought I was fucking 20 people the way these guys got me pegged all over the place.
Yeah, well, you know, like I had mentioned that on another program. right, that I had talked with and received donations from, you know, a little assistance from, some street gangs, some with African Americans in them, all right? And I had long discussions with them regarding the correlation between what they feel and go through. The allegation of them developing themselves is to maintain their side of the community, etc., from the other side. And you know, sometimes that causes bloodshed. They're under the premise they're protecting each other. They're a family. They're a group. And, you know, it's the same thing as other, as Latin clubs. And I don't know if we should use the word gang, because I just don't agree with that. I'm an Irishman. And whenever Irishmen get together, we're a gang. All right?
That's it.
Yeah,
you're talking to two Irish guys right now.
Right. Yeah, and Kennedy. How much Irish can you get?
Yeah, that's right. I'm McGrath, so we're just shit starters, and you put us in a large group, and shit's definitely started. So it shouldn't be long before we're outlawed as well, our culture, our blood, you know. But
Hank, being Irish, I got to stop for a second there. Screwdriver and I were at a party up in L.A. a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Remember that TV series, The Sons of Anarchy?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the president of the Belfast chapter in Ireland?
I heard about
Sons
it.
Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
From Australia.
Yeah.
I'm saying, and all those people in Ireland, you couldn't find an Irish guy to play the president of the motorcycle club. You brought an Australian in? What kind of bullshit is this? He had to work on his Irish accent.
Yeah.
So him and I, we were going at it.
Bill had him going. Bill,
oh, man, I got bad.
Bill told him, I can't understand how you're an Australian guy playing an Irish guy in a Protestant club. You're the only Catholic, and then you turned out to be a fucking snitch.
You got to be the snitch, the only Catholic guy in the Protestant club.
Yeah.
No wonder they threw you off the roof.
Yeah. And, you know, you go to Ireland and it's, you know, the northern side, it's non-negotiable what happens with the Catholics there. Just to jump to Ireland quickly, they could definitely relate to what's going on with these two brothers, Tyler and Peeps, because they go through it almost every other day. A kid goes to school, and because he's a Catholic kid, all right, he'll be jumped. He'll be jumped. Thugs. Four or five thugs, teenagers or young 20s, will kick in the door of your wife and everything else, beat your wife up, rape her, possibly even burn down your apartment because you're a Catholic family. I mean, this is today. Yes.
Hank, I would say, I'm not explaining them why they're doing it. I'm not defending
so they
them.
They can understand.
Irish is a Protestant. Yes. In Ireland, they have generational hatred.
Yes.
So if 20 years ago you blew up a bar, my uncle was in it, and I'm an Irish kid, I'm going to get a Protestant. And I was over in Ireland on my motorcycle floating around, and I started the younger kids. And they said, it's not so much that we don't like the Catholics, but my brother was killed by a Catholic.
Everybody's got somebody like that. I know.
On and on. Generational hatred. And they don't know how to stop it. And many of them don't want to stop it.
Yeah, because you know what it represents? The Protestant represents when England took over, they had everybody bow down to the king and throw away your Celtic beliefs and your allegiances and your family coat of arms. And so it's actually political act when a Catholic whoops the crap out of a Protestant.
Yep.
Even though that Protestant may be a good Christian, may be a good person, and not be involved whatsoever, they hold now the shield, all right, of the enemy. And until Ireland becomes free and all the counties become free of that purge. Even Scotland is trying to get its freedom right now by gradually taking over or getting members into the parliament. All right?
Yeah.
Because they're the permanent, they used to be, all right, genetically two Irish clans cast out of Ireland. Given the island of Ireland, of Scotland, to be mercenaries for the English.
Right.
Well, you know, just like,
so they want
to
their
jump
freedom
back
now
to,
from that.
Just to jump back to Australia, you know, if you remember the High Court, they did a bid to overturn the legislation banning from the biker clubs from associating.
Yeah.
And even though it was rushed through in the wake of a brawl at a Sydney airport between members of the Comancheros and the Hells Angels, in which a man was killed, and it was like a giant leap backwards for human rights, because they said, We're not gonna let you do this, we're not gonna let you do that, da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened was the High Court agreed that it was discrimination, but each individual territory over there is doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And to jump back to the Tyler and Pete's case, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I want everyone of all walks of life, open your eyes for a second, all right? Well, you can take any person you want to and put it in the body of Tyler and Pete's. Say two African-Americans walk into this bar. One goes and uses the bathroom. One guy just rushes. You first see him looking. Then he rushes the one waiting outside the bathroom door, grabs him, and two other guys show up, and they're grabbing him, too. All, it's almost like a fluid motion, and then a whole bunch start grabbing him. So he's got six or seven people he's wrestling with back and forth and back and forth, and then they drag him outside and start slamming his head against the ground and stuff like that, all right? What would you call that?
Exactly.
Discrimination.
Exactly.
Discrimination.
For whatever reason, these people... We have no rights. We're exempt from our rights.
Right.
How can we not have rights? We're American citizens.
Yes.
And I say many of us are veterans. We're not giving up our rights.
That's right. And the government doesn't know what to do about that, so what they do is they will not take back the propaganda they supported, which was a freak propaganda, the 1% concept, all right, how it was initiated. Somebody called me today about, can I ask AMA for help, you know? In this case. I mean, whatever. But the point is, right, where the 1% moniker started was a misconception of something that happened that never really happened.
Right, it was all staged.
It was all staged. And that was later on proven. But that part is not given to the public. And so 40, 50 years, the public is given propaganda. And I swear to God, if you had a crowd of people outside, they would merely watch and not stop it.
No, I agree, yeah.
I can also swear
to
God, right, that if some freak racist stuff was going on and an Irishman was standing there, he's sick. An Irishman is a sick character. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I may intercede.
Well, listen,
you know, 15 people going to hang this black guy. Hold it. You know what I mean?
No, I understand that. Yeah,
There's something wrong with this.
Yeah.
Well, that should have happened the other day, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It's like everyone, including the police, wanted this to happen. And that's
now
the
they
argument
want to bury
that
it.
Has to be put forth in civil rights organizations about this particular case and other things that have happened to the American biker culture and the people in it. It's got to stop.
Once you get in the legal system, you can only fight it from being within the legal system. That's why I like your remark earlier about people involved in the legal fields. We need your help.
Yeah.
We need conversation. We need telephone calls. This organization, the Highwaymen, they need somebody just saying, hey, we listen to what you're saying, and we listen to what you're doing, and they're doing you wrong. But once you're in the damn legal system, you got to fight it from within the system. That's the part that makes everybody frustrated.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what's important?
You know
whether
what?
We
you
win
know
or
what?
Lose in this Pete and Tyler's case,
yeah.
We can't let it go because it's part of the star on the flag. It's part of the movement. It's part of the reflection to prove, show and prove what you guys are saying every week is fucking true. The bias and discrimination is unjust. I mean, why should you have to stand there and say, I'm a biker, but I'm also a vet, you know, just in case, you know? Or I'm a biker, but I'm also a minister. Fuck you. I'm a biker, and that's it.
Yes.
Let's do this. No. All right? Out of my way. You need some help, I'll help you out. Other than that, leave me the fuck alone.
You see, the problem is, you know, I would love to see the motorcycle magazines get involved, but I don't think they'll touch this. They're interested in selling magazines.
Right.
I would love to see some of the people in our industry has made money off us bikers, some of the large motorcycle magazine companies, and we all know who I'm talking about, but why can't we get these people to say, hey, this is wrong. This is what we need. We need exposure, but we need people that know how to work within the system. People, you and I, we're saying we're upset and all that, but there's people out there that are listening know how to deal with this.
Yeah.
And that's we need to reach, Hank. I agree with you on that 100%.
Yeah, and this is a case where they can't get a bad name for yourself on this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't get a bad name on you on this one. We can show and prove stuff enough where you can stand up and maybe make some bucks for your organization. You see what I mean?
You know,
we have
a lot of contacts with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like when Bill and I first started bumping heads with these guys, and I was shooting them the info daily, and they wouldn't do nothing. It took somebody working for one of the magazines to have a problem
that the guy stood back, looked at it, said, okay, yeah, we'll publish this. But it took one of their own in their circle to get in trouble with the law for them to publish the articles.
If I could say this, I know that Carmella Brown, the New York writer, she's definitely going to play this. I know that we'll get it into Thunder Roads. I'm pretty sure that we'll get it into all the 1% of news nationwide. And we're going to hook up a strategy, of course, in which we're going to contact you guys, and you guys could help us, you know, participate in this as well, where we're going to do probably put this film online as well with a package and articles smashing all over the place and contacting civil rights organizations as well. So
yeah, you send it to me. I'll put it out.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a plan.
I think the part that's irritating me is the fact that you said you can send it out to the motorcycle organizations. God damn it, why aren't the mainstream organizations paying attention to what's going on? They think they're exempt from this? No. They're exempt from this maybe today, but again, tomorrow they may go after them. Somehow, some major motorcycle magazine, one of the big three or four, has to sit down and say, we need to broadcast across America and across the world. These are things that are wrong. I'm not saying I'm adversarial against police. I'm saying there are police that have done wrong, and we're just trying to bring it to the light. We're trying to shed light on a bad cop or a bad bust and let people know this is wrong.
Yeah.
But we got to get it out more mainstream somehow.
Well, one of our main problems, all right, is the reality there are thousands of police motorcyclists, okay?
Sure.
Thousands. And they're human beings. And it's more advantageous for them to look at different people. You know, they're wearing biker patches themselves. They're wearing club patches. They're wearing leather. They're riding their motorcycles. They're gathering just like everyone else. They understand it's really a club. They understand it's really a family. And they understand that they actually signal other clubs. You know, the even 1% of clubs. I mean, they act friendly. They show up at events and stuff like this. But they won't fucking stand up, all right, for their fellow brother, because it's easier as a human being to be so frail to say they're worse than we are, we're better than they are. It's that fucking small.
And the blue wall, they just won't break that silence. They won't go across that, even though they know the cops done something wrong. I've talked to them. They said, Bill, it'll ruin my career. The other cops won't blah blah blah. And I said, you know, this is wrong.
Yeah,
Bill. I've got a wife, I got a kid, I got a mortgage. I'm not going against the police department.
Yep.
And for these people, you know what? You're not a bigger man. You're a lesser of a man in my eyes.
No, and just like Bill's saying, I got a couple of guys that have known me since I first got stationed here in Oceanside, and they tell me the same thing. They give me bits and pieces. Don't get me wrong, but they don't give me the whole story. Like I know there's five guys in this town that have a DUI. They're in their fucking car driving with a gun. They're supposed to be on a desk.
Yeah.
But because they say that the biker people are taking over the town, we need him in the car.
Let me interject this. This is like playing Monopoly or playing some little society game, all right, where you have your new generation, they shape themselves to what the government wants. This is how the parents have to act. This is what you have to do. This is what everybody has to do. And you got authorities and you got people calling that civilization, all right? And in this new civilization that they're making, where they depict role play exactly what the government wants in your character, all right, it excludes the basic foundation, the heart and blood of the American culture. It's being destroyed, from churches to family structure to education structure to society to, I mean, this reminds me of one of the first rules that were made in Washington, and that was there'll be no monarchy in the United States, okay? Now, the most ironic thing about that is that was just to ban people like you, Bill, because you got a coat of arms, or you, Mr. Hennigan, because you got a coat of arms. Or me,
right,
McGrath, because I have a fucking coat of arms. And the coat of arms represents a clan of people, a group of people, a family. So they couldn't be empowered by coming here to the United States and unify themselves they'd suffer persecution. Well, it's the same thing as what's going on with the American biker culture in America. They're like the living cowboys of today. They simply, one percenter is they simply don't become subservient to the government. They have their own structure, their own decisions they make, their own, you know, community type affairs in which they can not only take care of each other, but they can help take care of you.
Right.
They can fix problems, and they can deal with situations. They also interact with everyone else, and there's no problem except for that which is created by the government.
Right.
That's what it is. And the government wants to do away with all these self-sufficient groups as well as self-sufficient individuals.
Right.
Period.
Hey, Hank, are you ready for a caller?
Absolutely, brother.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. The 909?
Hey, talk to us, 909.
What's up?
Are you just listening or you want to talk?
We want to talk.
Go for it. Tell us who you are, please.
We're a band. We're a band called Fall in the Morning.
Okay, hang on. Hang on a second, all right?
Okay.
All right. Hello, Michelle, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Hey, Screwdriver, how are you, buddy?
Good. Hey, we're right in the middle of summer. Are you guys listening? You want to comment?
Well, I'm actually just tuning in right now, and I caught a little bit of it, and it sounds like a great topic. Sounds like it's very intense, and I didn't hear enough of it to really make a comment right now. I know you wanted us to call in and talk a little bit about what's going on with the anti-violence music video and stuff. So do you want us to hold on?
Yeah, hold on for a second, please. If you let those other guys know too, I'll get right back to you when we're gonna finish this up here.
Thanks, Screwdriver.
Okay.
Hey, what about Bill? Where's Bill? No, little Bill.
Hello, Betsy.
Yeah.
What do you think, Betsy?
Oh, I'm just trying to unwind after a long, hard week.
Oh, I know, Betsy. It's terrible. Do you know today?
Good moment, honey. Go watch TV. I love you.
Levi jacket over my shirt today because it was cold to work. It was terrible.
Cold, anytime you want to come grab a shovel and come up here and dig out from 2 feet of snow, Bill, you're more than welcome.
I still got my chaps in the back of my bike, but I haven't put them on yet because it's not that cold yet.
Yeah, oh, it's brutally cold tonight. And
have
of course,
listening?
We got well, it was cold. Yes, no, yes, I was, and it's quite a fascinating subject.
What do you feel about that?
Well, I do believe there's discrimination, and I do believe that people have to band together. And I think that, you know, in a way we've touched upon this subject before. How do we get the younger generation involved?
Right.
Hey. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Betsy. She has a Biker Bits website. And this is another one of our media contacts where we can send Betsy the information and she'll publish it for us.
She's out of Boston.
She's out of Boston.
Oh, geez, I need a Boston connection, man. I had a run through there. I enjoyed myself living in Boston for a while, a couple years. Betsy, this is Hank from Bikers
Hi,
Against
Hank.
Discrimination. And you can learn more about it at www.freeonepercenter.com.
Okay.
Which was set up by a good friend of ours, Chuck DeCoste, a good brother. But
I know well, Chuck.
Yeah, all we do is we fight. You know Chuck, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy. He's a real good guy. All bad does, we don't care if you wear a helmet or don't wear a helmet. We don't care, you know, too much about your motorcycle. All we care about is the element of discrimination and to stop the propaganda that's been going on for 40, 50 years. So the American biker culture can live independently. In order to do that, we have to stop, change the public's mind about what's going on so they understand it's mere propaganda, that in every family there's somebody who commits a crime. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean the whole family is active criminals, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we just have to change the propaganda that's going on and have the American biker culture accepted as a culture. It's sad to say that we actually have to do that because, I mean, they're embedded in our communities. Why do they have to fight to be recognized as just citizens instead of second-class citizens. So these questions are serious. As far as how to get to the youth, hardcore. What do they call that? Tough love.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get to them. No nonsense. Demanding of their leadership. And if you have to, you have to breed out the government that existed for the last 50, 60 years, find some nice, sexy chicks, and, you know, create a whole bunch of babies. Breed them out.
Breed them out. There you go.
Breed out the government.
I'm going to bring in one more caller.
Those are the only answers I got right now, Betsy, besides the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy, hang on a second. Screwdriver wants to bring a caller in also. Hang on, buddy.
From 323, you're on the air.
Hi,
323.
Are you just listening, or would you like to talk, make a comment?
This is Wes Anderson. I'm calling alongside of Michelle Renee and Fall in the Morning. So,
okay, man. Cool. We'll get back to you in a minute.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so it's like this. The more people we can get involved and see this and get the message out, I think the better off we're going to be.
I talked
to a TV reporter. Bill talked to a couple of them, too, when they had that saddle tramps accident where the members of the club got killed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to reach out to that woman probably tomorrow and see. I know she's out here in California, but maybe she can stir the pot for us.
If we get it out to the media, what I used to do all the time, I used to be a professional reporter, now I'm an independent reporter. What I used to do all the time is I would take information and include it with a package that I have. Do you understand? And if I'm not using it right now, I could use it for a major story later. Do you see
that? You have a format.
Yeah. So, but this will be developing as it goes on. I'm also here with my, being 54, I have an 18-month-old daughter. All right?
God love you.
Yeah, when I say breed them out, I'm not joking. All right? I'm a born revolutionary for this type of stuff because I was raised by the government. I didn't have a family. I had juvenile schools and, honey, we're online. I had juvenile schools and then directly into prison because you're molded for that type of thing. And I learned civil rights the hard way, and I've been an advocate for years. And so, you know, this is, they're up against some seasoned professionals in Hermes, myself, New York Rider. There's a lot more people than we know are involved in this fight and are going to be involved in this fight. But you guys need to use this case as an example for other things that you're pointing out are bias and discrimination against the American biker culture. You know, you need to defend the culture. And what we did is we submitted a proposal, as Philip knows, to the New York State Human Rights Commission. And each of you guys got that in your own state. Human Rights Commission. And if you study it, it says no discrimination, for sex, disability, da la 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 la. All right? And as I said before, when I interviewed with the commissioner, I said, well, listen, is a transvestite protected under the human rights law? And he said, yes, under the sex. I said, what? A transvestite is just some guy that wears his mother's clothes. He has a wife or he has a girlfriend or, you know what I'm saying? That's not sex. So you guys got to get it together. You got to have culture, the word culture, included in the doctrine for your human rights protections in each state. And then from then we can work down because everybody already knows. There's some that will say it's a subculture. But when that culture is suffering a second-class status as a citizen, it's dangerous to call them a subculture. American biker culture is a culture.
If I may here,
yeah.
Hank,
not
too long ago when we, citizen bikers, went to the legislature to, you know, demand our rights, to work on fairness and insurance and whatnot, that was the phraseology that we used. We used citizen bikers because that was the point we were trying to make you know, we're not criminals. We are citizens and we have rights and we want to have our rights be recognized and be treated fairly.
That's right.
So, I mean, the word culture is interesting and good, but I think the word citizen speaks volumes, too, and something maybe you might want to incorporate.
Yeah, but everybody's automatically a citizen. I mean, I agree with you, but culture is vitally important because it gives protections for every citizen, regardless of the race, et cetera, and now the word culture is included. This is already scientifically and legally studied as the utmost approach for the American biker culture. If you don't do what I just suggested, then you'll suffer this, and the American biker culture will become an entire criminal enterprise in the next 2 or 3 years. So this I'm hipping you to a big major movement worldwide, mm-hmm. protection of the culture. Once that culture is passed as a culture, then the goth who wears all the dark clothing and likes his music can't be discriminated because of that. Then the American biker can't be discriminated based on culture because he's protected under the human rights law. This is a movement that's going on all over the place.
It's not going fast enough, though. It's not going fast enough for me.
I see what's happening in, like, Australia. My goodness.
Yeah, I know. We're involved the Free Australia Party. If everybody could hook up at Facebook with them. Heavy, heavy move they're doing. I love the way they shut down government when government threatened, a year and a half ago, government threatened to give more surcharges and other kinds of crazy crap. And so these guys shut down the subway system. They shut down buses. 40,000 bikers of all patch wearers and everything else drove up onto the government steps. I mean, this is serious over there in Australia. And they organized themselves in a way in which we have more freedom to do.
Right.
And that's
right.
What we need to do. But, you know, people say, like on yesterday's program, well, why don't you guys do this? You know, they're talking about one percenters. One percenters shouldn't have to sacrifice their culture, their beliefs, all right, just to get along. You know, like the African-American has to wear, you know, the Irish pin in order for the Irish to like him, all right?
Right.
It doesn't have to be like that. No, this is a case where outsiders should fight for the biker. The American biker culture, outsiders. And this way here, that protection can be secured because the feds can't turn around and say, well, you're friends of 81, aren't you? Or you're friends with this percenter group. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just an individual citizen, as Betsy said, all right, who's sick and tired of this happening. How do you think the African-Americans won? If in any degree they did win, I think the government's just taking turns.
Right.
You know, that's all. They're just taking turns. They picked on women for how many years? They picked on,
right.
You know, African-Americans. They picked on Native Americans. Go ask the Native Americans if they stop picking on them. No.
Hank, every organization you mentioned, including the gays, were persecuted so bad that they got together. We must be the real dumb ones because we can't get together.
Yeah.
We can't help each other out. Every other organization you mentioned was persecuted, prosecuted all the way down the road. They got together, they fought, and now they're afraid to even talk about them. But we, again, we're like a free game, whereas there's open season on bikers, and it goes over and over, and I still don't know how we can reach out to everybody. That's what's so important to me.
Exactly. Well, we're going to figure out the science because you're already showing how. We just did the first thing, something that made a little part of history. And I send my condolences again to Steve, the president of New York State, Highwayman MC. And I talked to Tyler's mother tonight, and she thanks you guys. Thanks Hermes, and of course, thanks Bad and Carmella, New York Rider Magazine, and everyone else. What we did is we interweaved three radio programs in three different parts of the country that generally overlap and serve, you know, anyone from all over the world can hear these programs and download them later on as well.
That's
so
true.
That was a historical thing that we just did, completed
Step
tonight.
One.
Okay, with the Phil and Bill Show, Bikers of America, Biker Lowdown, and the Hermes Live Show. All right? And as Bill suggested, you know, contacting the magazines and getting them to run these stories, it's going to require more than just sending a press release.
Right.
These guys get to choose what they want to print, you know? Instead,
right,
like Bill said, they should be a voice. They're making money off of the biker. Why can't they be a voice for the biker?
Exactly.
And that's another campaign Bikers Against Discrimination have been working on. We're having our second annual event coming up in March, in which
hey,
we...
Hey, can I start for a second? We have a caller, Jan's on the line from back in New York. Jan, you want to jump in and say something to Hank or continue this topic tonight? Jan, New York, you in?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
You're losing a little bit of terminology that is very important, and it's protected class.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
When you're talking to lawyers, okay, lawyers will say that motorcyclists are not a protected class, bikers are not a protected class.
Exactly.
Now, what protected class means, okay, is like there's a set of laws that the government makes, and the government typically makes laws that are against the citizenry itself.
Very
okay,
well said. Yes.
Rather than against the government, okay?
Right.
And who really should we be protected from but the government, of course?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that we'll all agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in terms of a protected class, motorcyclists and bikers just don't have that. So you can't. I think that culture or subculture is a wonderful term that we can use amongst ourselves to describe the biker way of life. You know,
yeah.
I don't call it biker lifestyle. That to me is too much high fashion. Okay, but it's the word protected class, and we just don't have that in legal terminology that the court would recognize, and so that's where you would need to go with this.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a phrase used, and we've already had this laid out. This isn't a discussion, you know, that I'm just throwing out. Hey, you know what a great idea is? We've already worked on this, already had meetings, already submitted proposals. The legislature, the state here, et cetera, is about to review it as well. And your phrase, protected class, is what comes as a result of winning the insertion of culture into the human rights law. You can't put protected class into human rights law. They are protected classes, and only those in that law, you know, the disabled, the aged, females, other types of people, are already a protected class by that law, and that's what we're trying to do is include culture, which is a danger to the government, as you said, Jan, if that's done, because it would not only protect the American biker, but other types of cultures and subcultures in America, where they cannot be picked on or fucked with or set up simply because of the culture that they're in. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
you're definitely someone I'd like to talk with.
The thing that we don't have is we do not have a dozen case law things to reference from court that shows that the citizenry itself are the ones who are attacking the bikers. We don't have that. Okay,
yeah.
We can show that the police are attacking
bikers.
Right.
That's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Everything's so segmented. Yes, you're right.
We can find 200 cases.
Yeah.
I mean, within the next 200 days.
Yeah, yeah.
That will show that. But we
ladies and gentlemen, I have to ask Star for a second. We have another caller that really wants to get on board. This is one of the genuine gentlemen in the motorcycle world. That's about enough of definition there. Caller, you're out there. T-Rod,
is that you?
Yeah, I'm right here, man. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear what we're talking about?
Let me take you off speaker so you can probably hear me better. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you listening to the show?
Yeah.
What the problem's
been
on the East Coast?
I just got in, bro. What's going on?
What are we talking about? We're talking about
strippers. We have a motorcycle club involved in a barroom situation. Seems like they were more attacked, and yet those are the ones that are in jail, and all the other people that are in the bar, none of them are charged with anything. And now they're faced with major time or settle for a couple years. And this seems to be a big issue with the motorcycle club called the Highwaymen out of New York. Now, I'd like you to share as much information on that point as you'd like to without identifying anything you don't want to identify, okay?
Well, these guys were in a bar fight at a bar, right? And now they're being charged with all kinds of stuff.
You ever been in a bar fight?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm still on probation. I'm still on probation for the Newport Beach brawl between my old club and another club. And it was nothing more than a bar fight. You know, this would have happened. This happens in Newport Beach once a week. Or, you know, between drunk surfers and nobody goes to jail, you know, and you put a patch on and it seems like they want you to pay the price for everybody else that gets away with it, you know?
Well, the motorcycle club world, we break that down to major league clubs and minor league clubs. You were a member of the major league clubs, and as you would say, the major league club. Surely you have to realize that you're like an open target every day for those police officers. So in that particular fight, you, of course, were going to get the more severe penalty. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I'm the only one that ended up with a case over the actual bar fight. Everybody else had a case over what they found when their homes got raided and whatnot, but I'm the only one that was charged. I pleaded guilty. Okay, in a nutshell, okay, there was like 18 of those guys and there was four of us, and all I did was punch one guy repeatedly, and I ended up having to plead guilty to assault with a deadly weapon, which I'm not a certified martial arts expert, so my hands are not registered as deadly weapons. I didn't have a knife or anything on me, and I ended up with a felony over something that I was looking at 7 felonies between street terrorism and everything like that over a bar fight. So I ended up pleading guilty to one felony with zero cooperation. Now, we told the law enforcement that if I ever got a deal, it was going to be with zero cooperation, zero statement. I wasn't willing to cooperate, give a statement or tell them anything. And they gave me, the first deal they gave me was check this out. It was 0 days in jail and a misdemeanor, but they wanted me to sign a gang card. And I told them, I'm not signing no gang card. And they said, why? Why do you care? You're not in the club anymore. I said, I'm not a piece of shit. I'm not going to do this to my brothers, you know, whether I'm wearing a patch or not. My feelings haven't changed for those guys, and they're still my family. And I said, no, that's not a deal for me. So then, since I wouldn't sign the gang card, they got pissy. And they threw a felony on me, which, you know, I signed and did my time, and then now I'm on probation. But it was a joke, you know what I mean? It was over a bar fight where one of my friends got stabbed, and we were surrounded. The only way to get out of that bar was fighting. These guys have blocked all the exits, and they weren't backing down. So what are you going to do as a man? You're going to sit there and let them beat on you, or try to hit the biggest guy in the room and then fight your way out, you know? So, anyways.
I always try to pick the smallest guy in the room, work my way up.
Oh, yeah.
No,
hey, very quickly, at that party Saturday night you and I were at, the other club in that bar fight, they came up offering respect and all that. And did that kind of put a little hair in the back of your head up a little bit, or were you okay with all that?
Well, honestly, man, the reason why I went into that bar was not to look for a fight. It was to actually try to mediate a disagreement between both parties, you know, because I was...
That's what I heard from other people.
Yeah, I was friends with those guys. Those guys brought their motorcycles to my shop and everything, and I never had anything against them. But apparently they had disrespected or said something that was disrespectful, and one of my brothers at the time had some words with one of those guys, And actually, things were kind of going to be calmed down, you know, and one of the other guys, his friends, started insulting us, and that's all it took, you know. So I like to bury the hatchet, man. I mean,
they were trying to be very respectful when they came up to everybody. Remember?
They were, and I'm glad
to be respectful.
Maybe
sit
you know?
Down. They were talking about that, very honest and open about that.
They were.
Yeah, I'm glad they.
But let me point out again, though, if you belong to the Huntington Beach Surf Club and you got into that fight, that you never would have been charged as much as you're charged because you belong to a major organization. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, you know how it is, man. I mean, look, we all know.
Well, everybody is out there listening to it, that because you had a patch on your back and you were in the major league, you were charged much more severely than if you're just a plain surfer guy and another surfer fighting.
Yeah, but exactly. But you know what, man? It's sad to say, we all know what we're getting into when we're putting a patch in our back. So, you know what I mean? It's like we can hoot and holler about how unfair cops are. And, you know, those motherfuckers are always unfair, bottom line. They profile us every time. But, you know, going into this, we already know what's going to happen, you know. So it's like... It sucks that it is that way, but for people to put a patch on their back and say, "Oh my God, I'm being victimized," it's kind of bullshit too. Because you know what, you know what you're getting into when you put that on. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I agree.
So it is what it is. I guess you gotta take it as it comes and deal with it the best you can. You know.
We got a lot of other callers and all that, but what's new in your life? What do you want to talk about quickly? And how's that sidecar, that side hack thing going?
Hang on.
What do we got?
Betsy?
Yeah?
This is T-Rod. He's out of Huntington Beach, California.
Mm-hmm.
He's partners with our friend Rusty. They
mm-hmm.
have a shop. It's called Illusion Cycles. And not to get off the subject, but
hold on.
Wanted to let him give himself a plug.
Right on, man.
Tell us about this side hack thing you're working on.
Well, the fab is almost done, man. We finally finished a lot of the fabrication, which is the hardest thing, and now we got to take it all apart and get it ready for paint and powder coat so we can start the season. And I think it's April. April, it's the only running sidecar for Speedway with a Harley-Davidson engine. So it's building a lot of momentum, man. This thing is getting a lot of press and a lot of attention from everybody, you know, because we're going to be running a Harley motor, and then we're running a big twin. We're not running a Sportster engine. We're going with the big board motor, you know.
Is there an open class that you race? I'm not familiar with that. I know the smaller races from England they use. Is there an open class you run with, or how do you do that?
There you go.
No, basically, in the entire country, there's about 11 teams. And it's 1,000cc maximum, and there is a wheelbase, and there's a width, and there's all that takes in consideration. So it would have been real easy for us to squeeze a Sportster motor in this chassis, but we wanted to go with a big twin. We wanted to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of run things a little bit different, you know?
And they use Jawa motors, and they use a lot of English motorcycles.
Yeah, I got.
They're nowhere near the size, the engine you have. How are you going to race in a class? How are they going to race you? How are you going to race against other motorcycles? Is it open class or what?
No, we're going to run it against them. We took a Evo case, and we put Sportster rods and S&S showhead wheels, and we worked it all out. So we're running... Sportster pistons and barrels. We're right at 1,000cc. So, but we're running 14-to-1 compression, and we're running alcohol. And this thing's gonna have a push button shifter, so we can shift gears up and down just by pushing a button. And it's gonna be pretty neat, man, because we're making the whole thing from scratch. Basically, we designed the chassis and we built the chassis, and now we're doing all the mechanical aspect, and we got guys that are helping us out, like Wynn Keller and Bob Bennett from Bennett's Performance. We got some of the top engine builders in the world helping us out with these projects, and we're very fortunate to have these guys giving us a hand, because they they're making my life easier when it comes to building the engine, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've said this before. There are people that pull things on motorcycles, and my friend T-Rod, he breathes life into metal. And that makes a big difference in a custom motorcycle. Breathing life is taking a piece of metal and from your own energy creating things. And that's a lot different than all these bolt-on riders we got today. Don't let your head get too big. I'm saying something nice about you, all right?
No, I appreciate it, man. I'm just a gearhead, man. That's all. You know,
I'm
in the garage right now, and I'm looking at the Harley Speedway bike we got, too. And
it's going to work.
We just got this thing running, and it's putting the right amount of horsepower, and it's the only running Harley-Davidson Speedway bike in the world right now. We're going to shoot it for a hot bike tomorrow, and we're going to race it around the track on Sunday for the first time out in San Bernardino, so we're really excited with this. We're going to have the all-Harley team out there, man. We're going to compete against the Jawas and against all the chat bikes, you know?
T-Rod, do me a favor, please. We want you to stay on for a second. We have to bring another guest in, Michelle, on that spousal abuse, and we want to talk about... What do you want to jump in there, brother?
Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Okay, Hank?
Yeah, Bubba.
Hey, we're going to give T-Rod a little more time. And,
you got
and,
it. I just wanted to
I want
say...
But I want you to call... I'm going to talk to you during the week, but I want to get... I want to do see if we can keep doing the same thing. We get a hold of me, you, and Hermes together, and we all do a 15 or a half hour update on this whole thing.
Well, absolutely. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you guys for your support. And again,
come on, you know, again, communication is everything. It's like the little snowball going down the hill. We stay together. That's the snowball get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know.
Well, it's like LJ says: we united, we ride; otherwise, we walk.
Yeah. And remember, it only takes one person. It only takes one person to make a difference. You know, I'm not a patch wearer, but I'm going to defend the patch wearer to the end, all right? They don't have to. They just have to maintain their culture and heritage. Like the brother said, they knew what they got themselves into. The rest of society has to protect the culture, and I'm stuck here with an 18-month-old. All right, have a good night, guys.
Good
peace, love, revolution.
Thank you, brother. Nice guy.
Hey, you know what's funny, man?
Talk to me.
This guy hit it right on the button, man. I was arrested one time while I was buying a burrito, man. I was on my patch. I was on my way to church, man, and I was at a fish taco place buying a burrito, and I'm walking in the store, man, and Costa Mesa PD comes walking out and gets the whole, "What are you doing here?" "I'm buying dinner. What do you think I'm doing?" "And you got any weapons on you?" "No, I have a knife for protection, but it's not a weapon." And escalated from there, and they started messing with the knife, and the knife flipped open. It wasn't a lever assist. It wasn't a spring assist. It wasn't anything. But the screw that held the knife together was a little worn out, and the guy flicked it, and the blade came open, and they arrested me for a gravity knife. A knife that does, I don't know what gravity knife is. I mean, I've never ever heard of one of those. But the knife was made by Emerson, and it was an Emerson Commander. And this knife was 100% legal to have and to own and to carry. And everybody...
T-Rod, was that knife manufactured in California, do you know?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, my attorney subpoenaed... Ernest Emerson, which is the owner of the company, and said, "Hey, we got a problem, bud. A guy that's got your knife got arrested for having this thing. And if you don't help us out fighting this, guess what? Your knife's going to become illegal to carry in California. So is that your best interest before my client gets convicted of carrying this knife that help out with this? Because you won't be able to sell them anymore." And Ernest Emerson had a long list of people that have purchased this knife, including law enforcement agents and paramedics and firefighters, and he was gonna come down with his, you know, $1 million attorneys and help me fight this. So I was out on bail technically on a knife case that was bullshit because the knife was legal when that bar fight happened. And because I was out on bail and I was fighting that bullshit case, they were tagging me with crime bill crime. So it was like a, it was like a big snowball of bullshit that just escalated and came down on me. I just couldn't believe it, man. How stupid things got, you know?
Again, you said you understand that you were kind of isolated because of the patch on your back.
Oh yeah, I got another
one.
The
same knife
for you,
never
man.
Would have been bothered, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, I got another one for you. The cop that arrested me while I was getting that burrito because of the legal knife. I was in an accident in Costa Mesa where I was T-boned out of a parking lot by a Hispanic guy. They had no license and no insurance. Not only didn't have no license, he never ever had a license, so he didn't even have the right to be driving, no insurance, and because that cop was the first cop at the scene, and because I was wearing my patch, they blamed the entire accident on me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on and on, man. I mean,
we got someone
crazy,
that wants to ask you a question.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you on, please?
Jen, are you there?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I didn't have a question for T-Bone, but I just had a comment, you know, because, okay, I hear a lot about, and I just want to know where people stand on this, okay? I hear a lot of problems with the no colors signs that bars post. Okay, sometimes they're posted by the bar owners themselves, and sometimes they're posted on threat from the police departments. You know, the bar owners just comply because the town or the city tells them to.
Well, three weeks ago, I was downtown and met some of the guys from one of the major clubs. I was already in there. They came in. They were asked to leave, take off their colors,
sure.
Or leave.
Sure,
as
we've all
the
seen
cops
that.
Came through the back door, pen strong.
Oh, really? Oh, no kidding.
The police decide they want you not to wear colors. They'll enforce the bar by trying to have them lose their liquor license. They'll pull it.
Right. Right.
Let
me ask my question, though. Okay, I think that this is a valid question. Okay. We have heard, okay, when Hank was telling people about this bar fight, et cetera, we have heard that the bar itself was going to be sued for not protecting people, et cetera. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's like wanting your bread and having it buttered and eating it, too, and everything else. You know, it's just... Where do we stand? Do we make a stand for property owners' rights? I mean,
it goes to whoever's got the money, whoever's got the deepest pockets, the best insurance. That's where they're going. It's all about the dollar in the end.
That's true. I'm just interested in other comments about that, because okay, like Rand Paul. You've all heard of Rand Paul by now, I think. Okay, big to do about it when he said that, you know, he was for property owner rights, and that you know, a lot of people said that, hey, wait a minute, it's important because of the old Jim Crow laws. So you know, this is a subject that I don't think is ended in America. We've got
absolutely not. I agree.
We've got bars up in Wisconsin that. The city themselves comes in and says to the bar owner, we're going to shut you down if you don't put up a no colors sign. Then us bikers, of course, we're going to take that really personal. You know, so this is going to have to be an ongoing conversation. We're not done with this conversation yet.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And you know, at this time I got to thank everybody, but we have a different person coming in. And Michelle, are you still on the phone? Michelle?
I'm still here.
I'm going to change the whole subject around a little bit. And what do you want to say?
Betsy, I'd like you to stay on. T-Rod, I'd like you to stay on because I want you to hear this conversation. And this is Michelle Renee. You met her at Rusty's or your guys' open house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michelle,
hey,
you
Rusty,
got the mic.
How are you?
Speak to us, buddy.
How's
you got
going?
The mic, and everybody else is unmuted. The band's unmuted. Everybody's unmuted. So what I'd like to do is everybody introduce themselves one at a time, please. And then once everybody's introduced, we'll start the conversation.
Okay.
I'm Michelle Renee. I'm the founder and director of Rock to Stop Violence.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from the band Fall in the Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing, man? Sorry you guys were on hold so long, but as you were listening, when we get into those kind of subjects, it just puts a burr under our saddles.
No
problem. Michelle, we want to give you the last half of the hour. We apologize for that, but at some point in time, there's going to be a guy calling in just tell us about a short thing happened in Oceanside. So we're going to interrupt you, Michelle, give him just about 2 minutes, and give him the rest of the half hour. Is that okay, dear?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's up to the guy. Yeah, it's no big deal. I love listening to the conversation you guys just had. It's relevant to what we're going to be talking about for sure.
And tell us what you're doing, buddy.
Well, first of all, I just want to say Happy New Year to you guys. And I tried to call you at your shop, Bill, and you haven't been there as much. And I'd wish you Happy New Year. So I just want to
say I hear this all the time. If I'm at my shop, I only get the customers to come in my shop. I'm out doing business. I'm generating new business. Bug me all the time. Oh, you're never at work. I'm at meetings. But I know what you meant. Thank you very much, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know what's happening, you know, personally, and I just wanted to say that I miss you and wanted to wish you a Happy New Year and wish you all the best there with everything happening. But what's going on with Rock to Stop Violence? You know, you guys were just saying in that last conversation, how do we get to the young people? How do we get the word out there? And what we're doing at Rock to Stop, not only are we going into the high schools and doing, I just got an email back today that looks like we're going to be going into a high school to do a Rock to Stop Violence event at schools. But we're doing an anti-violence and recovery video with this great band called Fall Into Morning. And I'm a huge fan of Attica 7. I love them. Seen you guys a couple of times. I don't know if you're going to be back up at NAMM this year or not, but and came out to check you guys out at your open house out there. But I really want to introduce Fall Into Morning, get you guys connected. They're really, really big into doing things for the troops and for the military. And they're also doing their next single, which is called Dusty Road, and their music video is all about my daughters and my story of being kidnapped and held hostage and then recovering and with the help of, you know, family and friends, not taking the drugs that the doctors want you to take to numb you out and not help you really heal in the truest possible way. And so it's about saying no to all of that and really choosing to heal in a positive, great way. And they're just a great rock and roll band. And then I know Wes Anderson is on the line too. He's with Rockwell Anderson, and he's the videographer and director of the music video coming up too. So that's everybody that's on the line right now and what we're up to.
Michelle, if you're thinking about doing the program at Sweetwater Harley-Davidson's down National City still, taking the whole second floor, what do you think about next location?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to be heading down to Sweetwater Harley and making sure that our next big event, the one in October that we're going to be doing down there for our next big Ride to Stop Violence, that's going to be taking place October 29th. We already picked out the date for that. We're going to have a smaller ride, kind of a cool benefit ride called it's a practice nonviolence ride that's going to be, you know, really fun coming up in March, so stay tuned for that too. And that's going to be a smaller thing but very fun. And this Sunday we're actually finishing up filming right next door to Frogs, where we had our last event from Kennedy's and from Sweetwater Harley and ended up at Froggy's in PB. We're filming right next door at this great spot called the Chateau Orleans. And we're going to be filming the acoustic live concert scene there and having a wrap party next door at Frogs following that. So we want the community to come out and be a part of the live, you know, concert video filming that we're going to be doing, to be a part of that live audience. And
are you going to have any motorcycles in it, or do you need motorcycles?
Yeah, bring them on. We love. Are you kidding? You know me. I love motorcycles. So any time we can involve... You know, you guys were just talking in the last segment, but the culture, I think there's such a misunderstanding of the culture, and there's such a stigma that is attached to anybody who is, you know, riding a motorcycle, that's the motorcycle enthusiast. Yeah, are there, you know, sort of motorcycle thugs out there? Of course there are, but are there people that are motorcycle enthusiasts that are not a part of, you know, that other culture out there that's happening in, you know, biker gang types of situation? Yeah, not every single person that rides a motorcycle.
They're not biker gangs, dear. They're biker clubs.
Is in a gang, yeah. So
they're not biker gangs, dear. They're biker clubs.
Correct semantics, Charlie. Biker club,
biker, however you want to, whatever technology you want to use. But not every person that's on a motorcycle that loves riding and loves that culture of riding is somebody that's out, you know, doing bad things. I think that's ridiculous to assume that.
I want to tell you, and I want to personally thank you. You invited me to come down and say a few words on this domestic violence, and I spoke a little bit about America's Dirty Little Secret. I didn't prepare a speech. I just got up and just spoke. But I think I mentioned before, I have never had so many people that thanked me for making that presentation. The day after, I was in a party 40 miles from that CPB, Pacifica Beach, and two girls came up to me and said they heard what I said in San Diego. I have never in my life, I want to repeat, ever made a speech that had so much dramatic effect. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak on that, girl.
Oh, you're welcome. It was powerful, and the visualization that you had people do, you know, to really consider the military. And I know Steve, the lead singer of Fall Into Morning, he's got really, you know, he's got a big heart for, you know, the military, and he's got, you know, family. He can tell you a little bit more right now about, you know, where he's coming from in terms of supporting our military and what they're doing and why the message of, you know, getting that message of anti-violence and, you know, not... Like what you guys were saying, sometimes, you know, people, you go into the doctor and they say, here, take this pill. And so many people, they don't really question that. They just, they take it and they're okay. And, you know, they end up taking more and they end up taking more. Next thing you know, they're numbed out. Next thing you know, they're, you know, hooked on prescription drugs and so much of that going on. And it happens a lot with people that even coming back from war or people that are surviving domestic violence situations or kidnapping hostage situations like I survived. You go to the doctor and you go to get treatment and they want to give you a pill. And we're saying that's not really the answer. You know, that might help a little to get you over the hump, but there's more to life than that. There's so much more healing than that.
Michelle, I have to apologize a second. I need to put you on hold for a second because a gentleman came in that wants to talk about this event here.
And
I know you can pick up the piece right after.
Right. And what I want to ask this guy, since you want to have some motorcycles in the military, this gentleman is from the American Legion Riders, and if you want to, you can extend an invitation, and I'll give him all the info to come down Sunday. What do you think?
Oh, I think it would be hot to have everybody down there.
Okay, let's bring him in, and then right after he's done, we're going to talk to the band and everybody.
Ken, dear, you out there, please?
Hey, Bill, how are you doing, man?
Number is 5941. Ken, you out there?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, buddy. We're going to have to give you I'm going to request that you give us a short synopsis of what's going to go on because we have so many speakers, and also to invite you back next week because I'll put a day before the event.
And also, we have Michelle on the phone with the band Fall Into Morning, and they're going to have a run Sunday. They're going to film a video, and they'd like to have some motorcycles there, and we're extending the invitation since these guys support the vets a lot. We want to offer your group to come on down.
Yeah, Pacific Beach.
And what I'll do is I'll call you tomorrow, and I'll give you all the info and the address and everything. But the mic's yours. Go for it.
Tell us what's going on, buddy.
Okay, that sounds good, guys. Basically, what we're doing is, we're having a celebration of life for a friend of ours, Jack Goslin. He was a retired fire chief from Avalon Fire Department. Worked there for 44 years. The last 14 years, he was the fire chief.
That's Catalina Island, right, brother?
That's right, yeah. Lost his battle with cancer. They had the ceremonies on the island for him a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to do something for him here. Since he was an Air Force veteran and a member of the Wind and Fire chapter of San Luis Rey. Sunday, January 23rd at 1 o'clock, we're going to be doing the Celebration of Life at Bill's shop here in Oceanside. And anybody who would like to attend is more than welcome to come down. We have... RSVP from the mayor. He's going to be there. We're going to have some bagpipes, a couple of fire trucks, and we're just going to celebrate our friends alive.
And I hope a couple of police cars are going to be there. That always makes Philip more happier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I don't know that we've contacted any of our...
Well, you won't have to contact them. They'll follow me there.
Whoever shows up. Ken, would you repeat that one more time? I'm going to have you come on next week and elaborate on this. Well, let me rephrase it. January 23rd, 1 o'clock, about 1 hour, Kenny's Custom Cycles, Oceanside, California, you know my place, blah, 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 blah. Celebration of life for a veteran. He was in the fire department for many years, retired to Oceanside, had a big old red bagger, and made friends everywhere. Ken,
yes,
I'm going to ask you to hang on if you'd like, sir, but I'm going to give this back to Michelle, and we're going to have you come on next week and give you more of a block. That'll put you the, like, Thursday before your event, okay,
Ken? I just have one question. Ken, can I get a hold of you that number during the day tomorrow?
You bet, yeah. That's my cell phone, so
okay.
I've got it with me about 90% of the time, yeah.
Okay, once I come off the carrier tomorrow, I'll give you a call.
Great,
and don't
thanks.
Forget that video now. Come on down, buddy.
Michelle, can you...
Yeah.
Can you introduce the band, please?
All right, I see.
They're all open mic. So whoever wants to go first, you guys, you're on.
Good deal.
Steve Wilson, he's the lead singer of Fall Into Morning. I'm just going to let you take over, Steve.
How you guys doing?
Fine tonight, buddy. Thank you for your patience. Now, we have a lot of people, a lot of issues, but thank you.
No problem. I appreciate this opportunity to be on your show. I had the other guys here. The other guys had to take off, so it's just me now. But just basically, we got a music video that we heard. You know, Michelle was interested and kind of listened to her story and got to meet her and got to know her and saw, you know, the situation that had happened. And, you know, thought it'd be a great opportunity to help promote anti-violence and definitely signed a board. You know, she saw the vision with the song, and that was kind of where I was going with our music video anyways. And she said, hey, I got this great idea. So we board it. The concept of it is great. I think it'll tell a really powerful story. You know, we're big into anti-violence and trying to help out the community, and we're big in helping out our veterans. My grandfather just actually got the Medal of Honor. After 40 years, he died in the war, and 40 years later, he finally gets the Medal of Honor. So I got to go to the CIA building, the White House, the Pentagon, all that kind of good stuff to go see that happen. That was a real big deal for me. So, you know, I'm really big into anything that has to do with veterans and trying to help people out.
Hey, would you tell me a little bit, because I usually like to have people play a little bit of their songs, but I don't want to lose any valuable talking time. Can you tell me what your music, your style is, please?
And if you can send it, if you can send it to me in an MP3 format in an email, I'll put it in my rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. We do a couple
different... out there. Describe the type of music you perform.
Well, we do a couple different styles. We want to show both sides of it. We've got a very hard metal style that we play, and then we also do an acoustic version of the same song. Absolutely. We're trying to show that we've got both sides of it, you know, because anybody can get up there and scream, and anybody can get up there and sing, but can you do both? That's kind of what our idea is. That way we capture a little bit of everybody. It's kind of what we are going after, so that people can hear what we have to say and hopefully feel the same way that we feel. You know what I mean?
And for us old guys, it means you're telling us we can understand the words, right?
You can understand.
Well, I can't always understand all the words.
Well, you know, Phil, right now we've got 89,569 people in the United States understanding the words.
Uh-huh.
We've got 7,183 in Canada. Germany's at 3,767. Australia, we're at 3,322. Denmark, bringing up the rear here, at 3,075. South Korea, we've got 2,610. The United Kingdom is 2,068. France is 1,761. Even Brazil, Bill, 1,681 people listening. And Russia,
Mother Russia,
322 people.
All right, all
so you guys, we're worldwide right now. So everybody's listening to you guys right now.
This is a good
That's
time
so
to
awesome.
Let them identify the name of the band, please, and how can they reach you on your website or whatever, please.
You can check us out on MySpace at myspace.com/ fall in the morning, and it's morning, MOURNING. Or you can go check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ fall in the morning. We've got a Twitter account. We've got pretty much anything that you can get. But if you want to go listen to the music, go to the MySpace, go to the Facebook. You can go YouTube. If you want to go YouTube, type in Fall in the Morning, and you can check out our first music video, which was Angel. That was produced by Rockwell Anderson also, which is going to be doing the new one. So definitely want to check those guys out. They're really, really good at what they do.
Anything you want to do, anything you want to do with addresses, accounts, whatever, send it to me with an MP3, and I'll put it on the blog for you, man. It's
I can
great.
Play a little, if you guys want, if you want me to play a little bit of the song that we're doing the music video for, I can play it right now a little bit for you if you want.
Michelle, I only got 15 minutes of valuable time. I want you guys to talk more about your event, more about the band. We'll put the music on another show, but with only 15 minutes, your message is so powerful. I want you guys to talk about what you're doing so people can hear that. Okay, guys?
That sounds perfect.
Thank you. Why don't you tell them about the music video and what it's about, basically, in a nutshell. Michelle?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, I mean, there's so many people out there that, and especially our veterans, you know, they're coming back. They are gripped with post-traumatic stress disorder, just gripped with it. And so many times they end up taking medication. And I'm sorry if I keep coughing. I've been really sick with the flu. But, you know, so many times they come back and they end up, you know, getting on medication. And they end up not being able to get off of this medication. And, you know, kind of one problem leads to another problem leads to another problem. Instead of being introduced to real ways where they can work out, you know, all the different emotions and feelings and symptoms and learning ways to cope with it and live with it instead of just numbing it and numbing it and numbing it. So our whole premise of the video is there are people in our lives that come into our lives that are there to help us, and we've got to allow them to help us and show us a different way. And so through lots of different natural means, whether it's, you know, no matter where you are in terms of a, you know, a spirituality or wherever you're at with different things, there are so many other ways to heal. It can be meditation. It can be prayer. It can be kickboxing. It can be, you know, getting in touch with something that you missed that you used to love, like riding a bike, like nature, whatever it is. There are other ways to really tap into what's going on with you and to heal those things, not by ignoring it and not by numbing it, but really facing it, you know, head on and saying, all right, I'm going to deal with these emotions. I'm going to learn how to live my life in a whole new way and really give myself a brand new identity post-trauma. And that goes for veterans, that goes for domestic violence survivors, that goes for everybody. So that's kind of what the whole music video is about. And it's our journey. Literally, we did a reenactment of the crime and the break-in and the kidnapping at our house, all the way through recovery to the point where we started filming the documentary of my writing a letter to our attackers, the first letter that we wrote them that we're sending to the prison to kind of, that's the last stage of the healing process. So literally everything captured to the point of letting go of that letter into the mailbox to release all the negative that's attached to that attack that happened to us. And then it ends with this great concert scene with the band. And so it's just a fantastic video. I love the concept. I love how it's flowing. And, you know, we've been having a lot of fun filming, too.
What are the hours you're going to be filming on at the outside the little restaurant out there? Like all morning, all afternoon?
No,
or how are you going to do this?
We're only going to be filming at the Chateau from 3 to 6 on Sunday.
3 to 6 p.m., and then we'll be having a wrap party next door at Frog's from about 6 to 8. So we're going to be out there. If everybody can start getting there a little bit early, maybe around 2:30, no later than 3, we want to start filming at 3, and we're, you know, just inviting the entire community to just come out and be a part of this great music video. And really fill in the area where we need people to be the audience for this great acoustic live concert scene.
Is the music going to be like inside the bar? Are you going to put a little temporary stage outside the street? Or I'm hearing a lot of people. How are you going to set this up, dear?
Well, the Chateau Orleans was just bought by a new owner named Gary. He's awesome. We love him. Want to give the best shout out to the Orleans over there. Or to the Chateau San Diego is what they're going to be calling it now. And they have live music there all the time. And inside the Chateau San Diego, there is a stage that's kind of rise up a little bit. They have live music there all the time. It's not just a restaurant. It's actually a place where you can listen to the live music also. So they already have a place inside the Chateau that's perfect for an acoustic set. And we originally had the Belly Up booked. We were excited about the Belly Up, but they wouldn't allow anybody under 21 in there, even during hours where they're not open and it closed down and was a completely private event. They wouldn't allow anyone 21 and under there. And we really like to do things where we can invite all our family and friends out to be a part of what we're doing that is all geared towards nonviolence and anti-violence and anti-bullying and all of those things, and post-traumatic stress disorder awareness and recovery. You know, like what you were saying with your last caller and your last conversation, how do you get the message out to youth and younger people? You've got to include them as much as you can in every single thing that you're doing. So we love the Belly Up and the staff over there, but we had to pass because we needed a space that we can invite everybody to.
Can you tell us the address in PB where the event's going to be at? Where is it at? Oh, they're on 926 Turquoise Street. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Someone said, repeat that again, 926 Turquoise Street, Pacifica Beach. Okay. Next door to
the Yeah, and anybody can go on Facebook/Rock2Stop, and that's our Rock to Stop Violence page, and there's a poster and an event on there. I know Fall Into Mourning is on Facebook, too. You can go to Facebook/Fall Into Mourning and look at their events page, too. So we've got the poster up there on Facebook. You can go to rocktostop.org also. And definitely become a fan of Rock to Stop for sure and join the rock and roll movement against violence and abuse because that's really what we're all about.
Hmm. So let me ask you this. How many bikes would you like to have there?
Oh, man. Well, the good news is that the Orleans, I don't know if you remember being there at our last event over at Frog's, but the Orleans is right next door. The Chateau is right next door, and they have their own parking lot. So parking is a little bit better for the Chateau, so we'll be able to, we'll definitely have a better space to line up the bikes and have some space for parking, but you know, it'd be great to have as many bikes as we can out there. I'd say, 25, 30 bikes out there would be amazing.
Okay. Let me see what I can do for you.
Yeah, that would be fun. And then, we've got our event coming up. I know you guys have an event that you're going to be working on with Charlie out there in Nashville, and you're going to be doing it simultaneously here. I know Fall Into Mourning, if you guys are going to have a concert at the end of it, I don't know if Attica 7's going to be playing, and they want some support, a support band, a direct support band for them. But, Fall Into Mourning would be a great, great connection and a great band for you guys for your other events too.
Good.
Well,
yeah.
we have to get on board to see if we can get a hold of Anastasia and see if we can book the roof at Sweetwater.
However, she's never denied us anything.
Right. And the thing with Charlie is we're going to try and do it simultaneously. Also, you're to be involved in that.
We drafted you, by the way.
Yeah, we drafted you.
We voted. You weren't here at the moment, so you're in.
Right.
I've been drafted. I now know the feeling. I'm excited.
We didn't
when
invite you to the meeting, but you should have been here because you could have said something. Because you weren't here, you were drafted. That's all.
All right. Like all right. Tell me a little bit about it. What's the deal and when is it?
Well, I don't want to put that out yet. Tonight. I'd rather concentrate on you guys. That'll, like I said, when I talked to you yesterday about when you felt better, to give me a call. And, we could probably go have a Pepsi or something to talk about it. Or meet me at Bill's
good.
And we'll, three of us can kibitz with Charlie on the phone.
That sounds good.
Okay, I want to see how the layout is so that you can see how much space we have upstairs, you know, square feet, et cetera, band area. I want to say quickly, Sweetwater Harley-Davidson, this is a free plug. This is an authorized dealership. It's run by two women, a mother and father, Anastasia and Mariana. I think that's pretty classy. That
mother and daughter, not a mother and father.
Mother and daughter. Sorry about that, yeah. I'm reading something while talking to you. We have two women down there that have their own authorized dealership. I think that's the only one in America.
Yeah.
So kudos to Mariana and Anastasia. By the way, both have beautiful names, don't they?
Yeah, and they're sweethearts too. You know, they're not. You know, they're wonderful women. They're wonderful people, and they want to do, you know, good things in the community and be involved as much as they can. And they're great to work with. So, you know, and you want to work with people like that.
Because they tell me whatever that girl wants to do, Bill, you just tell her right now. We're all ready for it. So you must have schmoozed pretty good that day, little girl.
Hey, I was born with that talent. Are you kidding me? It's why I'm doing what I'm doing now and using it for a good cause. And my teachers used to make fun of me, and they nicknamed me Motor Mouth Michelle. And I said, well, look at me now. I make a living speaking and going out and speaking. So definitely a gift I had early on.
Well,
is Rusty still on the line?
No, that was T-Rod.
Oh, is T-Rod still on the line too?
No, he had to take off.
He's got a lot of stuff coming up really quickly, some magazine shots, et cetera, et cetera. He's got some great custom bikes coming up, and he is to the max.
If you go into my album page on the blog, or you go back about 2 weeks, it's on there. You can watch the video, and they'll explain to you how they're building that sidecar bike, which will be the only bike in the United States or the world that is powered by a Harley-Davidson motor.
Racing sidetrack.
Oh, wow.
He did tell me
that
he wanted to let you know that he's with you 100%. Whatever he can do to get some exposure and bring some custom bikes down, he's for it. So, again, that little party you went to with Screwdriver and I, once again, you're out there schmoozing, little girl.
And then when I talked to those guys last Saturday, same thing. I got permission to do whatever we need to do and just keep them in the loop.
All right, that sounds good. We'll just have to keep touching base and... you know, tell them a little bit about what your plans are. I do want to talk about the band Fall Into Mourning. You know, this is a band that not only is you know, about anti-violence for Rock to Stop Violence in this music video, but they've got a plan coming up to go out and do kind of a mini ISO tour on the different bases and stuff to get out there and bring, you know, some needed, you know, support for our troops out there. And Steve, are you still on the line? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. We're still in the works on everything, but we're looking at possibly doing a small tour around to the different bases, trying to go and give them another sense of release, you know, as far as rather than go out there and you know, because people, when they come back from different situations, they just have a tough time dealing with things. So rather than go out there and drinking away, or rather than go out there taking a bunch of pills, we want to show them that, hey, it's okay to go to a rock show and I can show you that you can have a good time and listen to music and get along just fine and meet people that are having a good time. You don't have to resort to you know, other means that are going to eventually hurt you, you know, bad crutches. Just basically trying to inform people that it's okay to, that there's other options out there. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay for people are there to try to help you out. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty much says an awful lot right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that says a lot about the band. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like Attica 7, Rusty's band. You know, they're a bunch of great guys playing great music, and I know Fall Into Morning is a band with a big heart, and, you know, that's what you want to support. You want to support people that are not only, you know, they're in love with their music and what they're doing, but they're about something bigger, too. You know, they're about a bigger message there, about a bigger...
Michelle, program. Michelle, we are running off the air in 20 seconds that fast, so... We want to thank you for all the information. I'd like to get that sound of that band so I can hear that soon. And we'll be hearing you real soon, right, buddy? And we do have to say goodbye to everybody tonight.
Right.
Now.
And Michelle, if you would give them my email address, that would be great.
Okay,
thank you guys very much.
Thank you guys so much.
We have 10 seconds. We'll say goodbye to all of our friends tonight. We'll see you again soon next Thursday. Thanks for calling in. Remember, what you have to say is important, everybody. Don't be afraid. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Yep.